Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone. On our last program, Dr. Jennings said this, quote, "If God is not threatening to destroy the unrepentant, then what will he do to those who reject him? It is very simple, really. He takes the only loving action he can. He lets them go. And when the life giver lets go, they die." End quote. But that's not what Satan says. No, he's all about wrath and punishment and ever-burning hell. Today we pick up right where we left off as Dr. Jennings explains that God wants us to believe his word and his actions based on evidence. What evidence? Let's listen.
We encounter many beliefs in Christianity that are mutually exclusive and contribute to the destruction of reason and conscience. God doesn't want us to accept anything for which he hasn't given us sufficient evidence, evidence that appeals to our reason. To believe without evidence is unreasonable and can be done only when reason has been dethroned. But mutually exclusive beliefs are not the only way to destroy reason and conscience. One of Satan's strategies is to persuade people to accept symbolism as fact rather than to pursue the meaning of the symbols themselves. To accept metaphor as reality rather than to explore the significance of the metaphor. Think about what it means to be washed in the blood or cleansed by the blood. Are we really washed in red corpuscles? Obviously not. Then what does the imagery stand for? Blood is a biblical symbol of life, Leviticus 17:11. Christ's life reveals the truth about God and exposes the lies that Satan has told about him. Those who understand and accept the truth have their minds washed or cleansed from the distortions and misrepresentations about God. When back to trust in him, they begin to practice his methods. What does blood do in the body? It brings life, oxygen, and nutrients, and removes death, carbon dioxide, and waste. Consider the role of truth about God as revealed in the life and death of Christ, the blood of Christ. It brings life, the truth, and removes death, lies. To be washed in the blood means to have the mind restored to health by the truth as revealed in Christ. Hebrews 2:14 provides further insight into this process. Since the children have flesh and blood, Christ, too, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Did you know that the devil holds the power of death? What is that power? John 17:3 provides the answer in Christ's own words. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If eternal life is knowing God, then what would eternal death be? Not knowing God. Then what is Satan's power? The lies he tells about God that we believe that keep us from knowing him. The blood of Christ symbolizes the truth revealed in Christ's life and death that destroys the lies of Satan. The truth sets us free. It heals our minds and restores our relationship with the Father. Within Christianity, we find many other examples of misunderstood language and symbolism. Think of some examples familiar to you, then search for their true meaning. Since reason can be dethroned in many ways, let's explore some of the telltale signs that indicate that reason is being removed from its intended role. Following are six common signs that often surface when reason is not engaged. 1. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Many persons exhibit symptoms that indicate that they have allowed their reason to be sidelined and have lost the ability to think for themselves. Perhaps you've heard someone say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. While it sounds very spiritual and seems like a way that seems right to a man, in the end it leads to death because it dethrones reason and impairs the person's ability to recognize truth. It allows for belief of anything. Does God want us to believe simply because he said so? Or does he prefer that we believe because the truth is on his side and we have come to understand the truth? Anyone can make claims, but only God has the truth. Reflect on the Bible text that declares, God is love, 1 John 4:8. How do we know that God is love? because the Bible says God is love? Such a statement is only a claim, and Satan could make a similar one. The way we know that God is love is not only by the fact that God said, I am love, but because of the evidence he has provided in revealing his love. Consider the multitude of stories found in the Bible demonstrating his patient forbearance, his mercy, his grace, and his continual provision for our planet, culminating in Christ's death on the cross as an overwhelming evidence of divine love. God doesn't have to rely on proclamations or slogans because he has the evidence on his side. But since Satan has no evidence, he attempts to convince people through claims and assertions. Remember when Bill Clinton stood before the nation and proclaimed, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. But when Monica Lewinsky brought out her dress and it was subjected to DNA testing, the evidence revealed the truth. Satan has no truth, so he celebrates when Christians practice methods that rely on claims without evidence because it sets them up for deception. The Lord does not want us to believe based merely on the weight of his personal assertions. Following the resurrection of Christ, two individuals walked along the road to Emmaus when a third joined them. We know the latter was Christ, but they did not recognize him. Discouraged by Christ's crucifixion, these disciples were unaware that he had risen. How did Christ handle the situation? He could have chosen to demonstrate his identity to them in great power and declare, "It is I, the risen Savior, believe on me." Instead, he led them through the evidences of the Old Testament scriptures that predicted the events of his life. It was only when they were convinced on the weight of scriptural evidence that he revealed himself to them. God does not want us to believe on the basis of personal declarations and claims. Rather, he desires that we believe the truth because of evidence. In the book of Isaiah, God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." The process of reasoning out the evidence and discovering the truth for ourselves dispels lies from our minds and transforms us back to Christ's likeness. This cannot occur just by believing declarations. To accept claims without evidence destroys reason and enfeebles the mind, turning us into unthinking shadows of others. 2. If it's good enough for mom. Unfortunately, this is a fairly common practice in Christianity, to believe based on what someone you love or trust has said. Recently, the Anglican Church changed its official belief on hell. Traditionally, it had held that hell was a place of eternal fiery torment. Recently, though, the Anglican Church modified its position and now teaches that the wicked, in the end, are completely annihilated, arguing that the doctrine of eternal torment makes God into a sadistic monster. Imagine a member of the Anglican Church raises the question of hell with someone who believes in eternal torment. If those who hold the concept of eternal torment respond by saying, "I believe in an eternal burning hell because that's what my parents believe," would they be thinking for themselves? Would such a response reveal the use of reason or its dethronement? Or what if they said, "Well, that's what my pastor says," or, "I've believed this my entire life. I'm not going to change now." Such responses reveal that reason is sidelined, that those individuals have closed their minds to any further truth. 3. So many people can't be wrong. One of my favorite responses indicating that reason is not involved occurs when someone announces, "Most churches teach this, so many people can't be wrong." But those who use this argument to keep reason disengaged forget that the majority of people at the time of Noah and at the time of Christ were wrong. No, majority vote doesn't necessarily indicate truth. 4. Anger and refusal to ask questions. An unfortunate but equally certain evidence that reason has been paralyzed appears when people react with anger to questions about their beliefs. Because truth can afford to be investigated, those who possess truth aren't threatened when questions arise. But positions based on error will fall apart when investigated, and so people who are unsure about the validity of their beliefs will avoid examining them whenever possible. Anger and refusal to ask questions are frequent signs that reason is inactive. This is true even when some believe the truth, but do so because someone else told them what to believe, rather than them reasoning it out for themselves. Such individuals will experience anger when questions arise because they have never thought through the issues for themselves and don't know the evidence and rationale for why they believe what they do. Their reason is also dormant. 5. Blind faith. When asked about something that makes no sense or for which they have no evidence, many people reply that they just take it on faith. As we have already seen in our chapter about faith, however, true faith rests on evidence. So it never takes the position of avoiding any search for further evidence. No, only Satan's counterfeits demand acceptance without evidence, since he knows that the pursuit of evidence would destroy the false belief. 6. Satan's greatest achievement, spiritualism. Satan exults when Christians promulgate methods that actually result in the slow erosion of the image of God within. Unfortunately, too many such unhealthy methods have made their way into Christian circles. Perhaps Satan's greatest achievement within Christianity is the introduction of spiritualism. As we discovered at the end of our chapter about faith, spiritualism is the pursuit of knowledge without the investigation of evidence or the use of reason. In certain Christian circles, the deception is widespread. In fact, for many, supernatural experiences substitute for close examination of Scripture, and they base belief on volatile emotions rather than on reasonable understanding of the truth. Nothing could be more dangerous than this combination. It is actually the complete reversal of God's hierarchy of the mind, allowing powerful feelings to serve as evidence while paralyzing reason with the deception that the working of the Holy Spirit cannot be understood but must be accepted merely on faith. Some circles believe that the Holy Spirit influences people to gyrate violently on the floor or laugh uncontrollably. But the Bible is unequivocal that the fruits of the Holy Spirit include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When the Holy Spirit has His way in our lives, we recover greater and greater self-control. We don't lose it. It is the spirit of Satan that wants to turn beings created in the image of God into brute beasts, creatures of instinct who flop around on the floor like fish with loss of their reasoning abilities. But because many of these experiences feel so good, those who have them often accept them as the leading of the Spirit of God. If only reason were engaged, and the persons involved in such activities would recall that James 1:14 reminds us that we are tempted by our feelings. If only people would value truth regardless of how it feels, then God could complete His goal of recreating His image within. If only.
Dr. Tim Jennings reading portions of his book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. He offers so much for us to think about, doesn't he? So does the commonreason.com website. You might want to check out the books and blogs and videos and sharing tracts and paraphrases of the Bible, a wealth of material that he and his team have made available for us all to enjoy. That's commonreason.com. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.